Lesson 4. Hear these awesome and prophetic words from chapter 11 of Isaiah. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord.
Lesson 5, Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her.
Meditation 3. The words of the prophets were glimmers of hope in the gathered darkness. Like streaks of lightning across a nighttime sky, they illuminated the landscape for a glorious moment before all went black again. When they spoke God's word, they spoke of judgment, but also of grace, and above all, hope. Then there was silence, 400 years without a prophet, 4 centuries without a godly king, generations who wondered if God would ever walk with his people again. And then at last, out of the silence, he spoke. The angel of the Lord came down from on high to greet a woman barely more than a child. "Greetings," he said, "the Lord is with you, favored one." In the pause that followed, did the angel wonder what Mary might say? Did the angel doubt her willingness or her faith? How could she possibly be the bearer of all God's promises? How could she ever carry the weight of the world's deep longing in her womb? Like Abraham on the heights of Mount Moriah, so Mary, in the stillness of her womb, received the promise of God. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." In faith she received, and by faith she obeyed. Overpowered by the Spirit of God, she received the living word. The Son of David was coming to claim his throne. The heir of Abraham was coming to receive his blessing. The child for whom a whole nation had longed and prayed was coming, not to conquer, but through his death and resurrection to serve and to save.
Lesson 6 from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Thank you. Good morning. Lesson 7 comes to us from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in stripes of cloth, laying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of other angels, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger.
Lesson 8 comes from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
Meditation 4. Augustus was the greatest of all the Caesars. During his reign, all the power of the world seemed to settle in and then emanate from Rome. At a single word from his lips, the peoples of the empire could be thrown into chaos. One such word gave birth to such a chaos. And caught up in the streaming tide of misplaced people were Joseph, Mary, and the baby she carried. Caesar's command sent them out, but God's promise carried them safely. And in a makeshift nursery, the child of promise was finally born. Here was Abraham's distant star. Here was Jesse's branch. Here was David's son. In the darkness of the fields, the sky erupted with cries of glory from an army of angels. They were sent to shepherds, the poor, and the meek, to tell them that the king had been born, that their savior had come. And in the great black orb of space, a single star stood sentinel that night. Those who watched such things and knew their meaning set out with great gifts to find the king of whom the star had spoken. Abraham's promise was fulfilled. His descendants had their king and received their blessing. So too did the world. Those wise men from the east were the first of us not born of Abraham to worship the one true king who reigns over all the world. We follow them to Bethlehem, and there we find our joy. In that child born in weakness came all the power of God, the might of Caesar, so far-reaching, so extraordinary, was made pathetic at the sound of his first cry. God was back among his people, soon to walk with them again. The king has come. The promises have been kept. The curse is lifted. The world is blessed. How will we respond? The invitation is clear. Receive this King as Savior and trust in him as Lord.
Lesson number 9. Hear these metaphor-filled words from the Gospel of John. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son.
Amen. Yeah. Amen and amen.
Just for a moment. We say this is a relaxing service, and it is for the pastors that don't have to prepare a message. And Chad and I have realized neither of us introduced ourselves. I am Pastor Janet Wilson, the associate pastor here.
And I am Pastor Chad Parmley, the lead pastor here at Chapel Hill. And it is our blessing to serve among you from 2018 into 2019. May God bless us all in our ministry together.
And it's a relaxing service for us, but not as much for all those who read and maybe took a step in faith for do that. For Joan, who played 11 Christmas carols this morning, and Toby, who flipped endless slides. So thank you all for making this time together possible. I hope you heard those words and those songs and the story that they tell in a new way. The good news has arrived on Christmas Day. The good news will come again on Easter. And the good news comes in every day. Go forth to love and serve your God. Amen.
Amen.